The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Beyond the Fairway podcast, Dougie Fresco back alongside my man Will Lowry. It is an early morning, Will. I'm going to kick your ass for having me up this early in the morning. Hey, you know what? We had such an overwhelming ovation last week. We're going to do it again. It's me and Will. No guests, no hold back, no holds bar. We just in this thing. Will, what's happening?
What's cracking, homie? It's my birthday, dog.
Oh, sugar.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
That's how you know you selfish as That's how you know you selfish when you just tell everybody it's your birthday.
It's my birthday.
I was going to try to cue you up.
Because it's my birthday, I can say it's my birthday first. It's my day of birth. This is the day, September 12, 19, is the day the world changed.
For the better.
Better. There you go.
Got it. I had a whole nother situation set up, but what you gonna do for your birthday, man? You gonna play some G? What's happening?
It's just work, man. I'm still grinding, man. Like I can't get away from the grind, man. Trying to, make this game of golf, all inclusive. So I'm just on my grind to try to make this thing work, dog.
I feel like if you didn't do a lot of stuff on camera, I would consider you like Tommy from Martin.
That's a good call. That's pretty solid.
If you don't know Tommy from Martin, he's a character on the show that always said and talked about work, but he was never actually there. So if there wasn't visual proof, I'd call you Tommy Lowry.
Tommy had no job. I don't really think Tommy had a job, dog. I just don't. But he was always fly, though. He was always fly, and he always had Pam wrapped around his finger.
Tommy was a golfer. I feel like that's where he was. I feel like he was like an outside service attendant. Nobody's ever.
outside service attendant. Rest in peace, Tommy Ford is the guy named. But speaking of like outside, being on the outside, that last episode, it was, I don't say bittersweet, because I got a lot of sweet, like, from the assessment of junior golf, my opinion of golf, junior golf, from a strictly objective opinion of junior golf, from being around the AJGAs and Junior Hurricane Tours and all the alphabet soups of golf that you like to say, got a lot of feedback from governing bodies in the junior golf space, maybe. Like, that was a good episode. They really appreciate us speaking our mind to, some of the issues that are going on in the golf space. And that was solid. It was solid. I feel like Stephen A. Smith a little bit. Like, damn, I'm getting a little too much heat from this.
I thought that's how you were going to start this piece right there. It was just talk about the heat that we received. Now, I will say this. I got a lot of phone calls about that. Look. We've had Curry on this show, Sean Foley. We've had Super Bowl champions, MVPs on this show. And the episode that seems to have pushed a nerve, touched somebody's nerve, was an episode where we talk about junior golf. Look, let me say this. Those are our thoughts and ideas. I'm 30 and change years into doing this golf thing. All right? So if I say something, it's bars invalid. Like, so number one, I don't need anybody coming at me as if I'm new or have never done this. Look, people, shut up. All right. I live this every day. So if you took offense to what I said or what Will said, that's on you. Nobody's name was mentioned. No fingers were pointed at. Stop calling my phone. That's all I'm saying. Stop calling my phone.
Just, hey, what was some of the, like, what was some of the feedback that you got? Like, I mean, how hot did it get?
I had this one lady said, Will Lowry's going to get his.
Right.
Right. Right. You pissing moms off, Will. That's how. Like, right. And why?
I don't know.
With no names mentioned, why? First of all, I appreciate the fact that people finally listen to Beyond the Fairway.
Yeah, let's just be, it's such a bittersweet, dog. I feel like Chris Jenner a little bit. Like, I am happy that people listen, but I'm also like, you know, I'm cognitive of the response as well. But you know, I'm not trying to say I'm switching for this.
That's an interesting way to.
It is. It's
like what I call Anthony Anderson Beyonce. I get it because he had crossed over. It's the same kind of. Yes. I got you.
Absolutely.
No, but I really believe like it's really interesting. People, how many calls does Stephen A. Smith? Not comparing us to Stephen A. and
no way,
no, not even a little bit. But the people that know Stephen A. if he says something to call, and pisses them off, like does he really like give feedback? Because I could tell you what he's gonna say if you call him. I'm nicer than that. I'm not going to cuss nobody out. But I will say this. Don't call my phone if you got my number because you felt some type of way about what was said on this show. You know who you are.
True. But think about it, though. Again, it's an objective opinion of, like you said, of assessment that we have noticed over the years. It's just that simple.
It's a lot of people's first episode.
It could be a lot of people's first episode. Like... I'm shocked that somebody heard us. One thing, but it's just a thing that you know. If you kind of flip the way you hear it, you probably can learn a thing or two as well. So, you know, we're not the Brando Shambleys and the
we can be. It's not our job to break down and analyze.
That is.
But
true.
If you need us to, you know, Golf Channel.
We got that too. What's up, Golf Today Plus Plus?
Can we get it? That's the thing, Will. How come Golf Channel hasn't asked us to host? I know people got jobs. It's Damon's job to do like Golf Today.
But he wanted to off sometimes.
But he got to take a break sometimes. Yes. He needed a vacation.
That's the whole point.
Why can't we just, you know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing I'm trying to
Beyond a Fairway to Go.
Beyond a Fairway to Go plus plus. You know, and the thing about it is, you know, I'm always about, you know, you can't be what you don't see, you know?
Yeah.
And if we're on, you know, like a Golf Today or something, you know, getting major pub, I think kids from my community could be like, man, like man, they from my neighborhood.
Like, damn, I can have dreads and wear my hat backwards.
Right. But I don't, and that's the thing is, I think we're missing opportunities, not so much from our, you know, Doug and Will's sake, but just in general in golf to where we can really have opportunity to talk to the masses.
You know, Will, something happened in golf that you and I didn't touch on, I think we did it a disservice. Mm-hmm. Because Tiger Woods announces that he's going to do an event October 8th through the 10th. Coming up, field will consist of 30 boys and 30 girls made up from diverse backgrounds. And it will be selected via an application process. Sounds kind of familiar to some other kind of situation that we've seen by some basketball guy in the junior golf space.
I'm not saying all that, Dougie.
I'll say it. I'm not afraid to say it. It's literally the foundation of the underrated tour. Will, thoughts on Tiger Woods junior golf diversity? Can I call it a junior golf diversity? No, it's just a junior golf event. How about that? Junior golf.
Doug, that's a great question.
I'm just saying.
You know, when we think about Tiger previously and over the years, he has always steered away from, he evaded questions when it comes to diversity and promotion of black and brown in the game of golf, right? You know, it's been 25 years since Tiger, 12-stroke victory at Augusta National.
I'm going to put myself on mute so I don't interrupt.
and you know, I think... He's obviously brought money to the game. He has, you know, opened up a lot of avenues and doors to the game, but he hasn't done his, I don't think he's done a great deal of increasing the competitive space of golf, which I think is so, what I think is so important. Now, granted, yes, his foundation, you know, does provide instructions and grants, which is so good, but I that's the introductory level. But when it comes to the black and brown, you know, have an opportunity to increase that participation, I think he just hasn't done he hasn't done what I think he should have done in that space, you know.
Could have done.
And what makes it even harder to kind of comprehend, you know, Tiger's from, you know, a municipal. He's from a public course, par three course in Long Beach. His father had to take out a second mortgage to, you know, to continue his outstanding junior golf career. He recognized he had a prodigy. And I just kind of wish that, you know, I just kind of wish that, you know, in a competitive space that he could have done more. He could have done
in competitive more. Junior space. You're saying
in a competitive junior golf space. And, yeah. and I don't know this because we never heard Tiger Woods attach himself as far as helping diverse golfers in this type of arena. So I don't know if this is a reactionary thing, you know, having this awesome tournament. But more importantly, it's providing a platform. The whole goal is to provide a platform and create multiple talent pools. And I say it all the time, you know, from Steph to Mag Champ to Jim Thorpe to all those specific goals to increase diversity in the game of golf in a competitive space. If you're getting big prominent stars that are somewhat trying to replicate what is already going on, it's a win. It's a win. So if people want to say it's copying it or not, it doesn't matter. It's a win. And I know a lot of underrated kids have put their application to.
No, are you saying underrated underrated or underrated tour members?
Yeah, underrated tour members.
Okay, because I'm like
that. Yeah, no. a lot of underrated tour members have put their application, and I'm so happy, and I hope they get selected because that's another opportunity so they can showcase their skill set on the main stage. That's all I care about. And
no conflicting dates, huh? Because the dates don't conflict either. So it's kind of
You try to get me beat up, bro. But I just think that, you know, we're in a space and it has to happen. You know, according to the NCAA, less than 6% of black and brown kids are playing at an NCAA golf level in golf. I just think we're moving. That's all I can say. We're moving, and I know you're not you're a huge fan of Tiger, but you're not the biggest fan of Tiger when it comes to that diversity. So I'm really interested to hear your take on this. Don't be too tough, dog, because we can't take.
No. Look. I think Billy Horschel has done more for black golf than Tiger Woods. From
a
professional standpoint,
we heard that statement.
It's nothing new. We can rewind it and play it back. I've said it before. Am I proud? Yes, I'm happy that Tiger Woods and the Tiger Woods Foundation and TGR Events has, you know, decided to do something for junior golf. And it's dope. Their kids are going to go to Pebble Beach, a place that I've never been. You know, I'm looking forward to it one day to get to Pebble Beach and be a part of all that history and majesty. But look, I'm going to sit back and watch, and then I'll be critical how the event goes. Because like you, Will, I just want, you know, kids that have the ability to play at a high level, get a place to play. That's what it's about, you know. And Tiger Woods, if you want to put your name on it and, you know, be like Steph Curry, I love it. I appreciate it. And hopefully some underrated tour members will be selected. And Steph and Tiger will have necessary conversations like we talked about last episode, Will, where people can come together, do better, and grow golf. Like, not like the live way. Like, actually grow the game, go into communities, etc.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Over the weekend at the Ascension Charity Classic, APGA legend. If there is a Hall of Fame for the APGA Tour, which there probably will be. No, there is. There is an APGA Tour Hall of Fame. Tim O'Neill got a chance to play with the old men. Excuse me, with the legends of the game, as Alfonso would say. The legends of the game. y'all seen the commercial on GC. Tim held his own this week, man. I'm proud of what... Look, this is a guy, what, 30 years ago, roughly, triple bogey on the last hole of Q School. Will knocked himself out, has been grinding minis for 30 years, grinding. And now is eligible and competing on the Champions Tour. I think it's a beautiful story. I also think it's a story of struggle, pain, adversity, all those other, you know, buzzwords. And good showing this week for Tim O'Neill, top of 33rd. Go ahead.
But you think about like, 24, 25 years since that final stage at PGA West. Mm. That final stage, final hole at PGA West, the 108th hole. That for the young kids who may not know what the hell the 108th hole is, back in that time, back in the old days,
of 10 years ago.
10 years ago, they had a thing called Q School where they called it Hell Week. It was Hell Week, which was 6 rounds. And Tim O'Neill, what was it? He was
two above.
Got a triple.
On the last hole.
Last hole, missed it by one. So, you know, him beating Jim Furyk this week and him beating a lot of the major champion winners, that could have happened 25 years ago. He was one stroke away from that happening 25 years ago.
I find interesting is Tim's had more sponsors exemptions in the last 2 years than he's had in the past 30.
Yeah. I mean, but because Tim is our friend, we also can expound upon that. I mean, he had 8 starts in the PGA Tour and has not made a cut in one.
I'm
giving his flowers, but he's one of my close friends. But I'm giving his flowers, but damn.
Okay, so, I'll say this because I've heard this argument by right wing non diversity people.
Right wing non diversity people.
That's how I'll phrase it. But your mind went to where I wanted it to go by saying that. Now look. Everybody's like, you give these guys a chance on the tour and they don't make a cut, da 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 da. Okay, Tim is 50. He's played 8 tour events. He's never played more than one in a season, more than one in a season. Mm. So over 20 years, if you sprinkle it in, he's basically played a PGA Tour event every other year. That's best case. He's qualified for the U.S. Open, etc. So, that being the case... He doesn't get to play that style of golf or even get himself ready. You ever notice guys on tour talk about how they're trending? They're playing well. I'm trending. Well, you're trending while you're playing in PGA Tour events and you're trending for the PGA Tour, you know, for majors. Well, if you don't get that, then how are you really going to be prepared? So I will say this. Tim O'Neill will be one of the most beloved members of the Champions Tour when he qualifies and earns full-time status, which he will do because he hits it further than me and he's 96.
But here's the even more crucial part is, like, going back to the trending part. Basketball, you turn 50, you ain't doing nothing. Football, 50, you ain't doing nothing. Baseball, you ain't doing nothing. But golf, I mean, it's a fresh look. He has a new approach to the same dream.
Mm. Wow. That's actually think more about powerful that. Than I think you meant to make it. Just be honest. That was way more powerful than you
meant. But he has a new approach to the same dream. What sport that can provide you that attribute to or that feeling, that feel good. But I tell you this though. I tell you this, speaking of feel good, I don't know how much it feel good to the public when it comes to Brad Anamanis. When an APGA event, because I want to touch on the subject. I'm getting tired of it, Doug. You know, when it comes to the APGA Tour, something I am getting tired of hearing when somebody who is white winning an APGA Tour event, which the tour is solely for helping, you know, black and brown golfers exceed in the golf space, competitive golf space. Do you get tired, Doug, of hearing, like, man, you know, what is a white guy winning an APGA Tour event? Why is he playing in it? I'm actually getting tired of hearing this, Doug. I'm getting upset. I'm trying to get these phone calls. So on top of the phone calls I was getting because people like or dislike what I said last episode, I was also getting, hey, man, another white guy won APJ Tour event, man. How you feel, Will? Like, I'm glad he won. I'm glad he won.
You know, it's an interesting topic. You know, I was on the broadcast team for the Farmers Insurance Invitational where Patrick Newcomb won. And I was hyped. Pat from Kentucky, that's my man. Like, I was super excited.
He got a lot of ridicule from that, Doug.
Oh, he got crushed.
He got crushed in the media.
Crushed.
I mean, when I say media, it's small-scale media for us. But
yes, he got crushed on the county newspapers. But no, I was proud, and I think there's a lot, there's multiple ways you can look at this, and I understand, you know, people that don't know saying like this is a black tour and the white dude wins, blah, blah, blah. I get that, it makes sense, but it's not a black tour, it's not a white tour, it's a golf tour, it's a tour designed to promote greater diversity in the game, period. That's what it's. You can't be diverse and be exclusionary. Get all these white people out of here. Like,
yeah,
what?
You can't do it. Yeah.
What? What are you talking about? So, Brad Adamonis played the PGA Tour. Bounced off, played Korn Ferry, etc. We can get into it, but he's got a list. I actually think he won on the PGA Tour. I think he won the John Deere. Yeah. When you are a white dude and you do play on an APGA Tour, that's also an admission of, I'm with you guys in this struggle. I support what this stands for. And look, let me tell you something about Brad, because I used to live down in Florida and practice with Brad down in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale. Brad is like one of the coolest like dudes. And he mentored me, you know, on days where, you know, I was off work or I could go play. Brad Adamonis showed me shots. He showed me how to hit a freaking 80-yard shot with a 60 that hit and would chase up a hill on the green from 80 yards. And I was like, I didn't even know that was a shot you could have, Brad. Like, right. I didn't even know this was the thing that you could do with a ball. Right. And so I'm excited to see Brad win. I'm excited for him to get into the Worldwide Technologies, formerly the Mayakoba on the PGA Tour. Or it's at Mayakoba, but, you know, anyway. I can't keep up with the names changes, you know.
Yeah, it's name changes.
It's Worldwide Technologies in Mexico. How about that?
I hope the young kids have an opportunity to pick his brain.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not sure if the middle age guys on tour are picking Brad's brain like they should.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these guys are getting a little bit of money now, getting a little bread, you know, and maybe their cup is a little too full. Mm. I don't know. Mm. But if as long as Brad is playing that tour, I mean, he could be like Udonis Haslam. Like, just pick his brain, because the guy knows a lot about the game of golf. I used to always call Brad, and he never hesitated to give me any information. But I just want to know, like, but that's the thing though, Doug.
You want to know, that's the thing.
No, but no, I'm switching, you know, thoughts here.
All right, go ahead.
When you think about, you said admission, and there's times to where we can learn from different demographics on the other side of the sport, other side of the tracks, when it comes to the same game that we all love, the commonality that we have in golf.
Very true.
And I remember I had this conversation. White guy played APGA Tour event about 4 or 5 years ago. I'm not going to give his name. But he had a candid conversation with me. He said, man, there's some things that – he said, everybody on this APGA Tour player – and this guy currently he had a Korn Ferry Tour status – and I think played a few PGA Tour events. PGA Latin as well, won a couple times at PGA Latin. And he said that, there's some things, like everybody here on APGA Tour is good enough to play on PGA Tour. They have the skill set. But it's some things that, you know, you guys just don't know. And I was curious. I was like, man, what do you mean? So he just started going to the small details of what we don't know. And I really appreciated that, you mm-hmm. know? And it makes me even wonder, like, Patrick Newcomb, winner of the Farmers event in San Diego. He said some stuff that I had never heard of before, because he's been out there. He's seen the top of the best of the best. And Like, for example, it's very simple, but the guy I was previously was talking to, he said he was playing with one golfer on the APJ tour, came out hot, first nine, 4 or 5 under, the first three holes in the backside, 2 under, but those last 6 holes
went
downhill. But he said, I said, man, he was nervous, wasn't he? He said, no. It wasn't nerves. He wasn't eating. I mean, the simple things, eating every 3 holes, making sure you're hydrated. What's your pre-shot routine? What's your pre-round routine? And I notice that even sometimes when I look at some of the kids on the underrated golf tour, like there's certain things that they just don't know.
But it's because they don't know because they don't know. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, it's not that they don't know to do it. It's that they've never had somebody, you know, mentor them to put them in a position to know better. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I really do appreciate Brad Adamonis.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Overseas, look, this has been a meme. This has been discussed. I'm not going to make the joke because we all know that there's some other faction that plays 54 golf hole events, and that's what the BMW Championship was in England this week. Okay? But a couple things that stood out to me. Number one, John Rahm final round 62. That's 10 under par. That's one of the best things. Like Scott Van Pelt says, that was one of the best things I saw all week. John Rahm shot 29 on the back nine and just absolutely, with a bogey. Like, could have just absolutely blistered the golf course. Shane Lowry gets the W. And sadly.
Sadly what?
Rest in peace to the queen, of course. Rest in peace to the queen. Hell.
R.I.P.
I know she saved Snoop from jail, so I
appreciate the queen. She did save Snoop from jail. Yeah. She did.
But I read a lot, Will, and golf and whatnot. 18 LIV golfers teed it up.
Oh, really?
Two finished inside the top 10. Go look it up if you want to see who it was.
Is this where Billy Ho and Ian were beefing on a green?
I've been wanting to say this golf so long.
Was somebody set tripping?
And you know what? As dumb as that sounds, that's a very fair statement, Will. Was someone set tripping? Because now we got sides.
We got sides. Whose side are you? I don't want it to be like this in golf, Doug. I swear.
I know you don't.
I grew up in a similar environment. There's no positive ending here. It's not.
To your point, did we see a leaked somebody, you know, recording Ian Poulter and Billy Horschel having a heated discussion? Yes. But I feel like, Will, they should have let us dubbed the conversation. Like, we should matter of fact, I might
How would have went? How would have went, Doug? I'm Billy Ho. And you, Ian, let's go.
All right, who walks up to who, though? I didn't see that part in the video, man.
I think Billy Ho walked up to Ian, because I think Ian had his putting station. This is how I
win. Who you want to be? Who you want to be, Ian?
I'm Billy Ho.
All right. Go ahead. Ready? Do it.
All right, ready? Let me get in character. Hold on. All right, we'll get in character. All right. Hey, Ian.
What's up, mate?
So I heard, you know, that that you and 17 of your boys had something to say about being here this week here at the BMW. Is that true?
What's that, bud? I couldn't hear you over the rev of my Ferrari. What'd you say? You know I've got a few cars.
Well, hold on. Let me move my all my wins out of the way so I can see your face. Let me move my trophies. So you and your little raggedy Ferrari. I mean, is there a problem that, you know, that we're going to have this week for us being here on the same green, sharing the same fairways? I mean, is there a problem? Do I need to go talk to my PGA Tour homies or what?
I just want to wear the logos of the companies that I represent and own. Like, I don't know why you got a problem with, you know, me rocking team gear. It's my team. Like, what you...
What? Did you say something about APGA and the money I be giving? What'd you say?
Insane. But look, though. No, but in all honesty, look. And some gangsta PR. I will say that. Some very good, smart PR. Ian and Billy have this viral video that goes out. People are, you know, acting like they, you know, were having a beef. I don't know. It doesn't matter that if they were or weren't. What happened was they actually did a joint post on Instagram where it was like, don't believe everything that you see and hear. Now, I thought that was a fantastic move, regardless of what the actual conversation was. I don't know what it was. Maybe we just ask Billy what
I think they're beefing, because I'm not saying beefing, but I think the discussion got a bit heated, because when you look at Ian Poulter extend his hand, like,
don't touch me though. If we arguing, don't touch me. Like, don't right. Do right. Not.
Duh. Anytime you see somebody extend their hands like with the palms up, like, hey, that's a warning. That's a warning. Like, don't.
That's
you,
I'm,
you violate my you violate my civil rights.
A little too getting a little too in there.
You're getting too close. You're getting too close. But speaking of somebody who had just got not close at all to any player, who I can't think of his angle at all, anything in life, is Sergio Garcia. Oh, Sergio shit. Garcia played in the BMW, the same tournament that we're speaking of, and he quit. Withdrew after the first round, shooting the opening round of 76. Didn't notify the authorities that he was withdrawn.
So chill through the deuces and got the hell on, which is super disrespectful.
So which one's more disrespectful? That he left randomly, or where he arrived?
Either both moves are disrespectful, and let me tell you why. Because John Rahm's got a close friend, Alfredo Garcia. Heredia. Okay. Now, what I find interesting is that was the first alternate in that event. Mm. Okay. So had Sergio withdrawn before his opening round, AHG would have got to play in that event. Now, Sergio being the article that I read called him all sorts of names. I will not say what they said.
You can't repeat those names.
But I do find that to be... Look, does he have his reasoning? Yes, I'm sure he does. But is it one of the most disrespectful things you can do to an event? Absolutely. Unless you got COVID or like I did, that's different. But to tee it up in a tournament you haven't played, Will, in 22 years.
He's played twice in 22 years. But I want to say this.
Disrespectful as hell.
When you think about all the Sergio Garcia antics over the years, is he as
hated? Hold on, let's talk about some of the antics.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
When you think about some of the antics over the years, is he as hated as Patrick Reed? I mean,
people hate Sergio way more than Patrick Reed.
But you gotta think about it. But you can't give Sergio a pass. You know, when you go back to, you know, his ill-timed, poorly worded joke to Tiger back in the day.
You brought that back up. Huh?
Man, serving the U.S. Open dinner, he's going to serve fried chicken to Tiger Woods. That was bogus.
Fuzzy Zeller said the same thing. Let's just make sure we say that.
Okay, well, he reiterated, made it even 20 times worse.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so then you got spitting in the cup.
He did spit in the cup.
Throwing a club at his caddy over at, was it Royal Port Rush
whatever? Gave the fingers to crowds.
Beth Page.
So flick off the crowd. Like,
but my thing is like, can he recover or does he care to recover?
He doesn't care. He's cashed. He's breaded out. He's cashed. So he doesn't care. I think
they would call that in the hood. They would call that FU money.
Look, that's a variable statement though, right? Because some people's value of FU money is up here, and Sergio's, at the end of the day, compared to some of the people that we know, not trying to flex, he doesn't have as much, he don't have F y'all money. There's F you money and F y'all money, and Sergio might have the F you. But here's the thing, Will. After just defecating on his reputation.
Dang, great.
Thank you.
Weird word, but thank okay.
You. It's not weird. It's actually perfectly fit. Guy flies 5,000 miles, goes to the Texas-Alabama game.
What's his relation to that? I'm still lost.
His wife went to Texas.
Aha, the plot thickens.
Aha. Okay, so, baby girl, we're going to leave London town because the queen died. It's crazy over here. Let's get the hell on. We got King now. Let's go ahead and go to this game back in Texas. They played in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good game, though. Very good game to see. Like I've said about Phil Mickelson, just sit down and go away, Sergio Garcia. Like, why make waves? Why even make waves? You got your bread. You got the girl, baby, masters. You defect to live. Just, aren't you happy? Why aren't you happy?
I don't know. But I tell you this, though. He won't pull none of that stuff on Liv's dime. I bet you he ain't quitting.
Oh, yeah, not with that contract. They probably got one of them, like, cut your hand off contracts.
Yeah, we ain't getting to that, Doug. I ain't going there. But it's a great segue because you're talking about the Alabama game. Who else was at that Alabama? Was it Texas game? Who else was there?
There was probably 100,000 more people. Well, that's very, very.
Wasn't there another golfer there?
Cole Hammer was there.
Another golfer there?
Pearson Cootie was there as well. But Scottie Scheffler was there.
Ah! There you go. You fell into it. That's what I was waiting on.
And Will, let's talk about this because I think it was a good move. So here's the story. Scottie Scheffler receives his Player of the Year trophy from the PGA Tour on College Game Day. Mm. That's an interesting place for a trophy presentation. And I really appreciated the strategy from the golf bodies, ESPN, our family over at ESPN, and bringing golf. I know they do that consistently, right? It's not like a concerted thing. Scotty went to Texas. Let's bring him here. He got. Mm-hmm. I get it. But it's dope because a lot of viewers got to see that a Texas grad and Scottie Scheffler, who they may have never heard of.
Absolutely.
Probably don't care about. They got to see this, the Hogan Trophy for the Player of the Year, this massive bronze statue. And I think, that's some types of things that grow the game. So I appreciated that. I thought it was a dope move.
Hell yeah, it's a dope move. I mean, you know, having that crossover from football to golf. Now, I that's a start. That's a start to, you know, coming up with some great ideas. I don't think that's it because I'm sure the kid that was hammering in the background didn't really give a damn about, Scotty's 25 starts and 18 top 25s. But he will say, I didn't know golf can make it to game day, which is pretty solid if you can remember that. So I'm happy for that. I think it'd been nice if it was at the 50 yard line, maybe perhaps. But either way, you know, it was a good move, and you can't get mad at anything when it comes to trying to come up with creative strategy to grow the game and bring the game to more people.
Well, that's what it's about, Will. And bringing the game to more people, that's what we do here at Beyond the Fairway, presented by Genesis. It's Will Lowry's birthday, and I'm going to tell you something right now, just for the folks out there listening to this episode. You've been with us for just over 35, 36 minutes. It's 7:22 my time here on the West Coast. And if Will wasn't my guy, I would not have gotten my ass up this morning this early to hop on the ones and twos with him. Will, happy birthday, man. All the blessings and love and well wishes you can give a MF-er. They're going to bleep that. So I love you, dog. I appreciate you taking me on this ride. Happy birthday to you and yours. And, man, I'm up out of here. I got nothing left. So you can bring this home, birthday boy.
Well, yeah, it's my birthday. Man, I'm about to go ahead and leave you and continue this great work that I just fell in love with and growing the game. Got some projects that I'm doing today. And it's just about to make it happen. Hey, you know something funny? Going back to Tim O'Neill. Hey, Tim O'Neill.
This is how Will wraps the show.
Hey, this is how Will wraps the show. It's so funny. Tim O'Neill, obviously, Champions Tour last week. He turned 50 years old. Tim O'Neal looked like he was 38 years old for 14, 15, 16 years. But the day that he played in a Champions Tour event, they took a picture, he looked 50. I was like, damn, you look 50 right now? You look like you was 38.
Yesterday.
You look like you was 38 when you was 22. But now that you are 50, you don't look 38 no more. So I need another picture.
Lost all his collagen.
Because I just knew that he was Ponce de Leon. I just knew he found the fountain of youth because he just always looked young. But that is a wrap. Here on Beyond the Fairway, presented by Genesis. It is my birthday. Doug, appreciate you waking up early for being here with me. And do what we do, man. You know, two episodes in a row without a guest. You know, we got some guests knocking on the door, but we tell them to hold off just a second.
Yeah, we got things to say at the end of the season.
Yeah, because sometimes the guests be taking all a little shine sometimes, you know. So
this is a very long-winded rap, Will. Happy birthday. Stop talking. Get out of here. Give me low. Stop it.
Peace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.